Well, I have been branded Dangerous Michael Brown. I like it.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, and we've got some really important things to cover with you today. Here's the number to call, 866-348-7884. We have a lot of equipment we are setting up to do a live video feed for you. So everyone listening on radio, what you're going to hear is what you always hear. Those watching, it's just going to take us a couple of seconds to get set up. But here's the number to call. And I want to give you a personal invitation. 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. I want to help some folks out here. I want to give you further insight if you're confused about some issues. I want to do my best to set the record straight. I'm personally blessed, thriving, enjoying the favor of the Lord. But I know some folks get confused over some issues. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And I want to do my best to help all of you overcome any confusion, any issues you have, any honest questions. Would love to interact with you today. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. Let's start here, and I want to play a bunch of clips for you. Oh, let's start with clip number 5, and let me just give you a little background for this. I was teaching a class all day yesterday, advanced Jewish apologetics class, to a great little group come from several countries and around America for an intensive time together. As we reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and grow and learn together through it. So one of the guys in the class said, hey, just want you to know that Todd Friel did a show about you. So I didn't listen to it. I've been busy teaching and doing other things through the day. But found out that it was Todd Friel, Phil Johnson, who were taking some issue with me. These are brothers in the Lord. I wish them God's best. And again, they haven't hurt me at all. I pray for God's best in their lives, and I'll take issue with them in a constructive, not a destructive way. But one of my team members listened to the link and sent me some clips, so I want to play some of these for you. Let's start with clip number 5. This is Todd Friel and Phil Johnson on the episode of Wretched Radio yesterday.
I think that Michael is on too many radio stations that he shouldn't be on, because I do believe that Michael has an agenda, and I don't think it is to just bring about peace and harmony between conservatives and charismatics.
Todd says that I have an agenda. I'm on too many radio shows. Is that censorship? Is that an effort to say that I'm on too many radios? I shouldn't be on the radio? That's interesting. All that does is encourage me is that we'll be on more radio stations than ever by God's grace as we continue to expand and touch more lives. But Todd and Phil decided that they were going to brand me. They didn't know what a backhanded compliment they were paying me, actually. But if you're watching on Facebook, you won't hear this, but everyone else, you're going to hear this loud and clear. Let's grab clip number 6. And this is Todd Friel and Phil Johnson deciding as to how they want to label me. Let's listen.
We're not going to say that Michael Brown is damned. We're not going to affirm Michael Brown. Maybe. You tell me if you affirm this, that the thing that we should be labeling Michael Brown, the adjective that we should use for Michael Brown is dangerous Michael Brown. And if anybody knows what the word means, you are well advised to avoid him. So what do you say? Dangerous, Dr. Brown.
Agreed.
So Phil Johnson, John MacArthur's right-hand man, agrees. So you are listening, friends, dubbed by Todd Friel with the affirmation of Phil Johnson to the dangerous Michael Brown. Now, what these gentlemen didn't know, and look, they mean well, I pray for them. They don't upset me in the least. I'm good. I'm blessed. Again, anything that I talk about, I am talking about for your benefit, for your well-being, to clear up confusion, because we are doing just fine on this end, thriving in every way. But I have prayed for years that God would make me dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Here's a journal entry I found from April 17th, 1998, as one of my colleagues was preaching about Paul's sufferings in 2 Corinthians 11. I said, oh, to be so caught up in the work of the Lord that he is everything to me, and the world and all the demons of hell are against me, because I'm dangerous, a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And I prayed, oh, for Holy Spirit-impelled activity that stirs things up, tearing down satanic strongholds and building up an army for God. Yeah, that's my prayer. Let me be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. It's like the question Leonard Ravenhill used to ask, are you known in hell? Are you known in hell? Yeah, when the seven sons of Sceva tried to drive out demons from a demonized man in Acts 19, the spirit within him tore into them, and they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And the demon said, Jesus, I know what I know about Paul, but who are you? So yeah, let us all be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Here's an entry from November 20th, 2006. Said this, I'm supposed to be a threat to hell. I'm supposed to live dangerously in the center of God's will. And then another prayer time I noted, December 6th, 2006, that same burden to be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And then June 21st, 2009, When I realized that Paul, I mean, of course I knew this, but looking at a scripture again from Acts, the 24th chapter, that Paul was called an agitator, a troublemaker for Jesus, that we should all be falsely accused of that because we are doing damage to the kingdom of darkness. And I said, I prayed, Abba, take hold of me, speak through me, regardless of the cost or consequence. I must be dangerous to the devil. Isn't it time? Now, my focus is on the Lord, but as I do the will of the Lord, as we run our races for the Lord, we will create havoc in the kingdom of darkness. We will be plundering the kingdom of darkness, and captives will be set free in Jesus' name. And then just a prayer from November 15th, 2017. So what, 6-7 weeks ago? And I was thanking God for the amazing platforms that he's given us and the great expansion that he's given us over the years and seeing the amazing fruit that's come out of that, rejoicing in that, but saying, God, I want to burn more brightly for you. And I said, I feel deeply that I need to be burning red hot and writing words on fire that are dangerous to the devil. And I prayed, God, for greater fire in my life to make me more dangerous to the devil and the world. So these brothers are saying in a derogatory way, Michael Brown, the dangerous. I heard the exact opposite. I was greatly encouraged. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for those that are confused by misinformation they're putting forward. But for me, I'm greatly encouraged. Then I noticed someone else posted this on Twitter. He said, Doctor, you have reached Spring Hill, Tennessee. Some transgender mentioned you and said how dangerous you were. Keep speaking the truth. Yeah, so I get branded as dangerous in the religious Jewish community. I get branded as dangerous in the gay activist community. I get branded as dangerous in different places because we're making an impact for the glory of God, and that is a blessing and great encouragement. By the way, I'm just noticing a bunch of comments on Facebook. We are on the road. I am live in New York City. We are doing our best to get things set up so that we can give you a live feed where you'll hear everything on YouTube. Right now, we don't have everything set up to do that. Our guys are scrambling to see if there's a way to make it happen. But here's someone just posted this about me, that I am a dangerous apologist of some of the worst heretics in the charismatic movement and NAR, a preacher to be avoided. Ah, grammatical error. You meant to say preacher to be avoided. Someone else posted on Twitter, let's see, I believe Dr. Michael Brown is far more dangerous to the true church than any Muslim imam. So look, I feel bad for people that are in these tiny little words that do not realize what God is doing amazingly around the world. What am I talking about? Jesus being exalted. What am I talking about? People turning from darkness to light and becoming genuine disciples. What am I talking about? People immersing themselves in the Word of God and prayer and living holy lives. I rejoice when God does that. I rejoice to see lasting fruit of genuine disciples. That's what I live for. That's what I burn for. That's the thing that matters to me. All the other stuff is peripheral. And I'll play some other clips. We're doing our best to make sure that everyone that's watching can also hear the audio as well. So I'm going to delay playing a couple more clips for a moment. But can I bring up something that is grievous to me? Okay? Here's something grievous. And again, my concern is for us. I'm blessed. Trust me. I'm enjoying the smile of God, the favor of God. And by His grace, we're reaching more people now than ever. Those that are, you're on too many radio stations, watch and see the doors that the Lord continues to open to reach more and more people. If you think I'm dangerous now, we're going to be far more dangerous in the days to come to the kingdom of darkness, to the works of the flesh, to the world as Jesus is exalted. And look, I thank God for every life that Todd Friel touches, that Phil Johnson touches, that others touch who've been critical of me, attacking me, whatever caused the most recent wave of criticism, whatever. I thank God for every good way that God's using them. And where they have a blind spot, where I have a blind spot, may God fill it in. And my offer remains the same. Just as I offered to meet privately with Pastor John MacArthur and he declined, just as I offered to do a public civil debate with Pastor MacArthur and there was no response, just as I offered to do a public civil debate with Phil Johnson, just as I offered to dialogue with Todd Friel on the air or in a public debate, joyfully, let's look at what the Word says. Let's look at what Scripture says, because that's what I care about. If I never see a sick person healed, I believe what I believe about healing because of what Scripture says. And if I saw 10 people healed today and it was contrary to Scripture, then I'd still base things on what Scripture says. I am charismatic. I am Pentecostal because I am sola scriptura, because I believe in the authority of Scripture. And if Scripture says something is for today, then I accept it. I believe it. I embrace it. So let's debate Scripture. But here's what grieves me. And it's grievous for the body. There is this form of orthodoxy among the hypercritics. And please understand, those attacking me are a tiny, tiny little group. I don't care what numbers they have. In terms of the overall body, a tiny, 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 tiny group. And if they want to spend all their time attacking, fine, I'm going to be constructive in every way as we move forward. But so you understand this. There is now this new test of orthodoxy, which is basically, we'll show you something extreme, and unless you renounce that, we question your orthodoxy. It doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter what you teach. Doesn't matter what you preach. Doesn't matter what your track record is. Doesn't matter the fruit that you have. What matters is, will you renounce the latest heresy that we present you? And if you won't do it loudly enough, we question you. What? Where'd that come from? Since when is that a test of orthodoxy? Not a good habit. Destructive, not constructive. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. I'm just typing in the words. We're live now here on our Twitter feed so that folks can make sure they are listening to the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. So listen, I love truth. I love the truth of God's word. 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. So that's what matters to me. When I hear people speaking error, it concerns me. When I hear misinformation put out about me or others, that concerns me. And I find it far more dangerous, far more unethical, far more serious to bear false witness against a brother or sister. I mean, study Scripture about it. God hates that. And so division among brothers and sisters, I find that far more dangerous than if a charismatic is shaking in a meeting. Why are they shaking? I addressed this years ago. Maybe they're cold. Maybe they have a fever. Maybe they're under demonic power. Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting them. Maybe they're weird. Could be any of the above. I have to find out by looking at it or talking to the person. I find far more dangerous when people use their platforms to bear false witness about brothers and sisters, to misrepresent gospel positions, or to bear false witness even about church history. So let me give you an example and help you understand why you have to take a lot of this hypercriticism with a grain of salt And then pray for those criticizing, because I really think they mean to do well. They're just misguided. So let's grab clip number 4. And this is Todd Friel. This is a previous show. This is an older show. And listen to what he has to say about signs, wonders, healing in church history.
Those signs and wonders were done until we had ourselves the complete revelation. Now that we do, we don't have those things. Take a look at 2,000 years of church history. The only time you see any of these miracles, signs, and wonders within the last 2,000 years since the time of the apostles were from fringe wing-ding groups.
Yeah, that is laughably erroneous, false, from a historical perspective, a factual perspective. Palpably, laughably, pathetically false, ridiculous statement. Aside from the wrong theology saying that God stopped working miracles when the book that tells you about miracles was finished and tells you he's a miracle-working God, aside from that being 100% unscriptural, I will debate that anytime any qualified theologian, any qualified professor, pastor that is respected in your community. I'm not going to debate someone that acts unethically, but if you're respected in your community, in the cessationist community, in a heartbeat, I'll debate that theologically, biblically. Okay, not experience, Bible. But let me give you one example that smashes to smithereens this complete, utterly ridiculous statement by Todd Friel that the only time you'll find signs, wonders, and miracles after the completion of the canon of Scripture is the wingdings, the extreme fringe groups. Again, anyone that's a church historian is listening to that thinking, what? What? But how about Augustine? So, Todd Friel, Augustine is one of the wing-ding fringe guys in church history, right? And the City of God is one of the wing-ding fringe writings. And this is just one example of many, many, many among the testimonies of the church fathers, let alone others through church history. So, Augustine, early in his writings, stated quite specifically that, quote, Christians are not to look for continuance of the healing gift. But when he wrote City of God, he had seen so many documented healings that he wrote this, quote, once I realized how many miracles were occurring in our own day and which were so like the miracles of old, and also how wrong it would be to allow the memory of these marvels of divine power to perish from among our people. He said, it is only 2 years that the keeping of records was begun here in Hippo, and already at this writing, we have nearly 70 attested miracles. This goes on, friends, through church history. So you have to be very careful. People are spreading all kinds of misinformation. It's dangerous. It's divisive. I urge my brothers in the Lord, step higher. You're not hurting me. You're hurting your listeners, your followers, those view you, those reading what you say, because you're giving them false information. I found myself online today. Some folks were attacking me because of my Word of Faith prosperity preaching. What in the world are you talking about? I've never preached that in my entire believing life. Not only so, I have very strong chapters. In my book, How Saved Are We? A very strong chapter, 1990. Just devoted to bashing the carnal prosperity gospel. My new book coming out in April, Playing with Holy Fire, has a whole chapter there on the pep talk prosperity gospel. For decades, I have renounced the error of the carnal prosperity gospel. I've quoted David Wilkerson, who said it was birthed in the pit of hell, yet someone attacks me for preaching this, which is another gospel. What does it make me feel? It makes me feel bad for the people putting out the error and for those being confused, all right? So the issue is, let's get to truth, let's unite around truth, and let's realize, okay, there are areas where we are going to have some differences, where we have some differences, hey, let's pray for each other, let's learn from each other, and let's move forward, and let us not divide over secondary differences. If you want to make secondary differences the primary issue, you are hurting yourself and dishonoring the Lord and blunting our joint witness to a dying world. Hey, let me grab a couple of calls, but I want to invite you. There, some of you post really, really strong attacks on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube. I want to invite you to call the broadcast. Call the broadcast so we can talk together. By talking together and reasoning together, I can help you if you're missing a point. If I'm missing a point, you can help me. There's no reason to post a tax that I'm not going to reply to, can't reply to online, and that no one else is going to hear in terms of this broadcast. So phone lines are open. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Janice in Raleigh. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Good. Be encouraged, dear. What I love about your show, I love a lot of things, but the number one reason why you got my attention is because you, like you just said, mentioned earlier, I love the truth, okay? And listeners might out there be listening saying, what is the truth? The Word of God, period. Hands down, it is the Word of God. And it is something we can rely on even if it doesn't make sense. Like, you know, love your enemy. That didn't make sense to me at first, but through the Holy Spirit and time with the Father, after a while, his ways become your way, you know? But I love the fact that that the Word of God is the number one authority, and that's what you go by. And the Scripture will always answer anyone's question who is into the truth. Like for your situation right now, we do not fight against flesh and blood. This is not a flesh by a battle for you. You are fighting against principalities. You are fighting against these powers, evil powers in dark places. And that's what the Word of God has said. And also, count it all joy that
yes.
they're coming against you, because that is what it's all about. They don't want you opening up your mouth about the truth. And I'm talking about Satan and his demons. And he controls not only non-believers, but some of the believers. So, of course, you're going to get attacked. And I'm going to count it all joy with you because you're on the right track. And I do apologize, but you're not going to get a lot of these people to call in because, one, their master don't want you talking to them about the truth. They don't want, Satan don't want those seeds spread. So,
hey, well, tell you what, listen, I'm just going to jump in here. And Janice, thank you for the gracious words. So Janice feels that some people criticizing me are actually under demonic power and the devil doesn't want you to call. Well, go ahead and prove her wrong then. Prove that demons are not stopping you from calling and give a call if you're a critic. Hey, Janice, thank you for calling. I do appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. And listen. I take strong exception to erroneous, misleading things being said because they hurt the body. They divide the body. They dishonor the Lord. They don't hurt me. Here's what hurts me. I want to serve every one of you and bless every one of you and help every one of you. If you hear lies, misinformation about me, misrepresentations about me, exaggerated false statements about me, if you hear these things, and now because of that, I'm unable to minister to you. I can't help you reach Jewish people with the gospel. I can't help you grow deeper in the Lord. I can't help you stand up for cultural righteousness. That hurts me because I want to help you. But personally, I'm thriving in the Lord. I'm bursting with the goodness of the Lord. I've got no animosity towards those that attack. I just want God's best for them. And I get on the air because a lot of stuff circulates for a few days. It's like, all right, let's take a little time and help people understand. And then we move forward. Let's go over to Chapel Hill. Scott, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
I was just moved at the beginning of the broadcast where you said dangerous. You're being described as dangerous. And in the men's ministry that I'm involved with, Zoe Ministry, we have a shirt that we give out that says dangerous for good
yeah.
on the front.
Yeah.
And on the back, it says, nothing to prove, nothing to fear, nothing to hide. The black shirt with just white lettering. And I can't tell you the number of comments that I get from people at the store or at a ball game, you know, looking at that, dangerous for good. It's kind of a, you know, an oxymoron. And it's really dangerous for God. And I just wanted to encourage you. I thought of our T-shirt. If I had your
absolutely. Yeah, and like I said, Scott, and I've just got a break coming up, but thanks for the call and for your heart. But like I said, a student in my class yesterday said, hey, Todd Friel went after you on the air the other day. And I said, oh, you know, today I said, hey, you know, whatever, bless Todd and move on. So he sent me the link. So I sent it over to my producer just so he could be aware of it. And he listened and sent back a clip where Todd Friel and And Phil Johnson said, let's call him the dangerous Michael Brown. I can't tell you the joy that gave me, just as God was saying, that's right, dangerous to the devil, dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And these brothers, they mean well, but hey, I can't wait to see them absolutely full of the Spirit.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Is the number to call. I'm coming your way live from Brooklyn, New York. Just finished a wonderful, wonderful seminar. A bunch of hours together all Sunday night, all day yesterday, and then all morning till 1 today. Advanced Jewish Apologetic Seminar with different Jewish evangelists and outreach scholars and different ones. We had a great, great time together. But I want to help address some error in a constructive way. There are some, for whatever reason, I see in cycles that people will suddenly, critics from a certain camp will suddenly turn on me kind of with a vengeance. You know, they'll just come at me intensely. And I find out about it, social media or people tell me, here's the latest website attack. And to be totally candid, I don't read the articles, I don't watch the videos, listen to the attacks. If that's what I did, I'd get distracted from the things that I am doing, trying to be constructive. But some folks will say, here's a synopsis, or listen to this little part so you can be aware. So Todd Friel and Phil Johnson went after me on Todd's show that aired yesterday. I bless them as brothers in the Lord. But I do want to address some things to help you. I played a couple clips last half hour, but I want everyone to hear them. So Todd, Phil, other critics, I hope you'll hear this clearly, loudly. Those that are a little confused by things you're saying, I bless you, not mad at you guys. I believe you think you're doing the right thing. Unfortunately, there's some serious blind spots I'd love to help you with, and I'd love to have public dialogue about what the Bible says about the gifts and power of the Spirit today. Let us have a formal dialogue or debate. You get 10 reps for all you want. Whoever you'd like, I would love to have a formal biblical discussion. What does the Bible say about the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit today? But this is some of what was said on the show yesterday. Todd Friel and Phil Johnson, clip number 5.
I think that Michael is on too many radio stations that he shouldn't be on, because I do believe that Michael has an agenda, and I don't think it is to just bring about peace and harmony between conservatives and charismatics.
Well, first, Todd, it's a little odd that you say I'm on too many radio stations. Am I going to say you're on too many radio stations? How about we both do the best we can to honor the Lord and see what doors He opens for us? I'm rejoicing because we're getting new doors open every single day, and we're doing our best to walk through those. And I don't think it's your agenda to bring about peace and harmony between conservatives and charismatics, is it? My agenda is to glorify Jesus, whatever the cost or consequence. My agenda is to glorify God and go into this world and make Him known. My agenda is to make biblical disciples who will in turn produce biblical disciples. That's my goal. That's what I live and breathe for. And on the air, I seek to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Well, it's not just I'm on too many radio stations. I mean, trust me, when that comment was played from yesterday, I got a big smile. But this one brought a bigger smile to my face. Clip number 6.
We're not going to say that Michael Brown is damned. We're not going to affirm Michael Brown. Maybe you tell me if you affirm this, that the thing that we should be labeling Michael Brown, the adjective that we should use for Michael Brown, is the dangerous Michael Brown. And if anybody knows what the word means, you are well advised to avoid him. So what do you say? Dangerous Dr. Brown.
Agreed.
Yeah, I love it. Dangerous Dr. Brown. I want to be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. I want to be dangerous to worldly agendas. I want to be dangerous to dead religion, to the glory of God. And I pray that every one of you, I pray, Todd and Phil, that you will be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And I've prayed that many times. So what you said, although you meant it the other way, was actually the Lord encouraging me, hey, you are making a difference for good. Hey, one more clip. Here's where Phil weighs in.
I wouldn't do anything in partnership with him. I wouldn't. Because I think he does so a massive amount of confusion, and I wouldn't want people to think that my affirmation of him means that I think he's not dangerous, because I think he is dangerous. And in fact, I think someone like him who has the air of credibility and can at times speak with a voice that seems to be affirming truth and certain truths that he does affirm is potentially even more dangerous than Heidi Baker, because he will lead good and well-meaning people astray.
Actually, Phil, I'm not looking for your affirmation. You're not looking for mine, I'm looking for yours. I want the affirmation of heaven. I bet that's what you want also. But here's something I found interesting, that I've been told that I'm more dangerous than ISIS. Why? Because I'm charismatic. I'm Pentecostal. I believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today. So I'm more dangerous than ISIS, more dangerous than the Taliban. But I find this very interesting. Let's grab clip number 11. This is a conversation Phil Johnson, Todd Friel, some time back, talking about the Jesus culture music movement coming out of Bethel. And it's interesting, I believe it's Phil Johnson makes the comment at the end, but let's listen to clip number 11. Again, Phil Johnson, Todd Friel, they're talking about the Jesus culture movement out of Bethel. Listen to what they had to say.
It's a worship band out of Redding, California, Bill Johnson, part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. They are huge, 15-minute worship songs, monotonous droning, and it's all about the whole, come and fill us, let the river flow and fill us, we're hungry for you. And kids are buying it by the hundreds of thousands. They sell out arenas, they are huge. What does the evangelical church need to be doing, if anything, to be addressing this issue, which is not being spoken of?
It's a bigger, far more important issue than even abortion, because abortion, yeah, it slaughters infants, and we all deplore that and all of that, but these are false prophets who are ushering people into hell.
Okay, so Jesus culture movement and young people singing, Lord, fill me, touch me, that's more dangerous, that's worse than abortion, according to Phil Johnson. See, I have a massive problem with the double standards that are being used by some of the critics. And brothers, step higher, because what you're doing is more harmful than it's good. And look, I would rather have tens of thousands of young people saying, Lord, fill me, Lord, touch me, Lord, use me. Do I think some of the songs are too repetitious? Yeah, absolutely. I think some of them are too repetitious. I would far rather that these kids, with tears streaming down their cheeks, just say, oh, God, fill me. Oh, God, use me. Oh, God, touch me. I'd far rather do it. And they're praying. They want to follow Jesus. I know many of these young people, and they want to follow Jesus, and they are serious, and they are committed. And we ended up, some of them come to our school, and we train them and send them to go out in the mission field, and they're producing disciples as fine as anybody on the planet. You put your best disciples in your best church, we'll produce folks shining just as brightly, joyful, in the Word, living godly lives, solid kingdom disciples, not flaky. I'd introduce you to them by the thousands around the world. But worse than abortion. What kind of accusation? It is worse than abortion to have these young people worshiping and praying, saying, Lord, fill me, touch me. Who are they praying to? They're praying to God. And Jesus said, if you ask your Heavenly Father for bread, he won't give you a stone. No, rather than do that, these men are damning the people to hell. By what authority are you damning people to hell? By what scriptural standard are you damning people to hell? I would not want to play God and make those kind of statements. If it is clear to me that someone is rejecting the fundamentals of the gospel, then I say, yes, they are not saved. But if we have a difference over a particular practice or a secondary doctrine, I'm not going to damn you to hell over that. But let me show you how far this goes. Let's grab clip number one. This is a statement made by Pastor John MacArthur, who I honor and respect, but profoundly differ with in these ways, and continue to say, let's sit down and talk privately. Let's have a public dialogue. That's been my request for years now. That continues. Why? For the good of the body. I don't need John MacArthur's affirmation. He doesn't need mine. I don't need another friend or buddy, but for the good of the body, let us join together to help and edify and strengthen. Listen to what Pastor MacArthur said, clip number one, at the Strange Fire Conference a few years back.
It is to me a striking anomaly, however, that there is essentially zero social benefit to the world from the charismatic movement. Where is the charismatic hospital? Where are the charismatic social services? Where are people coming together to relieve poverty?
That is one of the most ridiculous, spiritually obscene comments I've heard in my life. I can introduce you to charismatic hospital after charismatic hospital and charismatic social service after social service. Do you want to see them in the States? Do you want to see them in the inner city? Do you want to see them in India? Do you want to see them in Africa? Do you want to see them around the world? You want to see our own grads and all the humanitarian work they're doing and rescuing people from human trafficking and feeding the poor and taking in orphans left and right? Would you like to meet them firsthand? Would you like to see them? Would you like to come with me and work with me in India where the poor are being helped and the needy are being cared for and hospitals are being built by charismatics that are so honored by the government that the government comes to express appreciation to them? It's an outrageous statement. It's an unfortunate statement for a fine leader of the caliber of John MacArthur. And yet when I had Phil Johnson on my show the day afterwards, Phil Johnson's clip number two, I asked him to repudiate that and listen to what Phil Johnson said.
Well, I strongly agree with him, actually. I mean, I've done quite a bit of work in other parts of the world as well, and it seems to me that American televangelists who are involved worldwide as a group, And yeah, there are exceptions, all right, but as a group, the televangelists, the best-known charismatics who have exported their theology from America to India to Africa to third-world countries as a whole, as a group, what they do is for their own self-aggrandizement to bilk people out of money.
So he wouldn't repudiate the comment. He would not repudiate an outrageously false, ugly, dishonoring to God, dishonoring to the body comment. He would not repudiate that. I get blasted because it's something completely unrelated to me. Some ministry out somewhere is using what looks like tarot cards. What do I think about it? I don't know. I haven't seen it. If it's tarot cards or anything related to it, it's nonsense. It's wrong. But I don't know what it is. Well, if you don't renounce it, you're a heretic. What kind of nonsense is that? And yet, when you have an ugly, false statement made by Pastor MacArthur on a large platform, Phil Johnson, when given the opportunity, wouldn't repudiate it, except instead he added more to the lie. And are there charlatans out there? Of course. Are there people out there for own prosperity? Of course. Are there some televangelists doing? Of course. I've spoken against them for years. I've written against them for years. Of course. Of course. But hey, one of the best TV preachers out there, best known televangelist, James Robinson, for years, what is he doing day and night? Humanitarian work, humanitarian work, humanitarian work, humanitarian work. I gave Phil Johnson the opportunity to repudiate it on my radio show. Let's go to clip number three. When I asked him, you're not going to repudiate it, listen to what happens. Clip number three, do we have it? All right, don't worry about it right now. Bottom line is no. His comment when I said it troubles me that you won't repudiate things that are blatantly false. Why can't you say he overstated that, Phil Johnson? Because I don't think he did. Brother, that's shameful. Step higher. Step higher. Honor what God's doing in the body. And let's help one another help the rest of the church. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, I want to get to some calls, but one more thing. This is again from Todd Friel and Phil Johnson on the radio yesterday. Clip number eight, listen to what Phil Johnson has to say about me.
What he's best known for is his affirmation of these charismatic aberrations that have absolutely no basis in Scripture, absolutely no connection to any biblical truth, and there's just no reason to look at that and say, yeah, I think he's a believer.
I'm sorry to laugh. I don't mean to demean Phil's sincerity. To say I'm best known for my failure to address or renounce charismatic aberrations is to say that the tiny little circle of my life that intersects with their little circle is where I'm known. 99.9% of the world who know me and know our ministry around the world have no idea what he's even talking about. It's like me saying Phil Johnson is best known for coming on my show and refusing to repudiate a false statement by John MacArthur. Of course he's not. He's got his own ministry. Of course he's not majorly known for that. However, as someone who was in the midst of bona fide outpouring and revival for years, as a student of revival, as someone who's worked with wonderful moves of God around the world, I am not going to fall into the critic's game of spending most of my time responding to, well, I renounce this one, renounce that one. Look, someone gets my, you're Joel Osteen, you support Joel Osteen. I interacted with Joel Osteen one time writing an appeal to Joel and Victoria Osteen. It's a word of correction. That is my interaction. And then trying to meet with him privately, which didn't happen. Well, you defended Carl Lentz on The View. No, I told Carl he did a bad job. I thought he should have done much differently. I wish he did differently. I urged him to put out a statement, and he did. And I said, don't throw the guy under the bus. I believe he's strongly pro-life. He didn't speak well there. Just don't throw him under the bus. So you're going to condemn me for not throwing a brother under... Well, you're going to say he's a brother. Do you know the man? Have you listened to his messages? Have you seen people he's led to the Lord? How do you know he's not saved? For someone to sit there without factual evidence and tell me someone else isn't saved, that's dangerous. To repudiate brothers and sisters, for John MacArthur to say the vast majority of charismatics worldwide are not saved, that's dangerous stuff. I'm not going to fall into the game of proving my orthodoxy by joining in. If I don't denounce this person and say they're hellbound, this one, that one, that I'm somehow not saved myself. I mean, that's really unfortunate stuff. And I'm not going to waste your time or my time doing that. Well, Heidi Baker shakes. I'm not Heidi Baker's defender. I've ministered with Heidi once. I'm going to be in a conference with her in April. But from firsthand reports I've heard, she has a wonderful work in Mozambique. And the books of hers that I read, good books. Does she minister in strange way? I don't know. I haven't seen it in the service where I've been in. But if so, maybe she ministers in a strange way. Maybe she's emotional. Maybe there's a Holy Spirit explanation. I don't know. But if you have a question, go to her. All right? When I see error, I address it. Trust me, I address plenty of error in my Playing with Holy Fire book. I address plenty of error in my 1991 book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God. I address a lot of error in the Charismatic Movement, the Hyper Grace book. I address it all the time. But I'm not here to satisfy your agenda. Tell you what, as soon as I hear Phil Johnson repudiate his errors about the gifts of the Spirit for today, because that's Bible, that's big, then we can discuss whether that person shaking is under the Spirit's power, demon power, or is just emotionally unstable, or cold, or shivering. Then we can discuss that. First, let's discuss the big issue. What does the Bible say about these things? 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Charles in Churchill, Tennessee. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, so I mainly called in. I really didn't want to, but I seen that probably nobody was going to. I've been somebody who has basically disagreed with you on almost everything for a long time. Over time, I left Calvinistic soteriology, and I'm not on the fence about the charismatic gifts. I'm fairly one who would say I'm pretty sure God's not doing that today, and if he is, he's probably not doing it in America. So I would fall into the category of people who would question most mm-hmm. everybody who you would affirm, right? So that's why I called. I would say this, too. You just don't talk for like 30 minutes or something, or 20, and there's no way I can go over all that. I wish I could talk to you longer.
Yeah, well, Charles, bear in mind there are scores of people trying to call and get through, and tons of people posting on social media, so we do our best. You know, we pay for the airtime. It is our airtime, so you know, if you can get to your point concisely, that's awesome, man.
Right, yeah. So here's the point. I think when it comes down to it, whether or not someone's a cessationist or not isn't necessarily even the point of these people. I think it's that the extreme things that you see from, like, the Todd Bentleys or the people writhing on the floor. And
but what's that got to do with me, though? I don't agree with Todd Bentley's ministry. What's that got to do with me?
If you let me finish, I'll make my point, and I would love to actually hear to address it.
Sure thing.
Because, like I said, I was going to say, I really do appreciate a lot of the stuff you've done, especially your debate with James White, all of them, and your one that was on the side. But anyway, I think the biggest problem people have is that it seems when it comes to people like Benny Hinn or other people who... You say, I've not seen their videos, I have seen this, I haven't seen that, I can't be expected to spend time doing that. It would almost be like you expect us to think that you're living under a rock or something. Like, you have to know what these people are doing. And to act like you're really totally oblivious to all of their errors really seems disingenuous to the vast majority of people.
But it's true.
And I think that that's just...
But Charles, it's true. Listen, my life is very busy. Every day of my life, I have 1,000 things I'd love to do that I don't get to. Writing projects, study projects, ministry projects, people to minister to and help. 1,000 things every single day. Listen, I have never, you ready for this? I've never listened to a sermon by T.G. Jakes or read a book by T.G. Jakes. I've never listened to a sermon by Brian Houston or read a book by Brian Houston. I just to give you an example of two prominent leaders. Okay, I disagreed with various things, the way Todd Bentley's restoration was handled, and had issues with things, and said that publicly, etc. So here's the deal. I used to play a clip of Benny Hinn talking about you are gods, little gods, and stuff like that, only to find out he had renounced it 20 years earlier. Literally, after Hank Anagraff interacted with him, he realized his error and renounced it 20 years ago. I played it on the radio thinking this is what he held to. So when I do research on something, Charles, I dive in wholeheartedly. And I study and I read. So I can tell you what Joseph Prince teaches. I can tell you what Paul Ellis teaches. You know, Hyper Grace guys or Clark Whitten in the Hyper Grace camp. In my Playing with Holy Fire book, I detail tons of stuff I've come across over the years. All right? I can tell you about financial abuses with leaders. I can tell you about sexual immorality with leaders because I've run into these things. And I renounce it in the clearest possible terms. But a lot of the other stuff, I haven't seen. Tons of stuff. I was in the car with some of our team the other day, and they brought up some major thing, Gamergate, I think it was called, and they were all talking about it. And I said, what is Gamergate? They said, you don't know about Gamergate? I'd never heard about it. It's so there's a ton of stuff I could talk to you about, man, that you never heard of. I give you 1,000 examples a minute if I could talk that fast, and you'd never heard of the stuff, and then you could turn around and talk to me, and it's stuff I've never heard of. So there's nothing disingenuous. What would you like me to do? Would you like me to make believe that I... No, the fact is, I haven't seen some of the stuff. I haven't been around some of the stuff, okay? And when I'm aware of it, sometimes I don't say anything publicly because I reach out to the people privately and address them privately about it. But I want to make this point, and it's real important. Please hear me, Charles, and thanks for being respectful. I appreciate it, and I wish we could have more time for everybody. But it's really important you hear this, friends. When I was in the Brownsville Revival, we had clips taken out of context from meeting after meeting, sent around the world to try to make it look like it was chaos and craziness, whereas people were getting genuinely born again, genuinely coming to the Lord, lasting fruit. So here's my big question for you, all right? And let me just check with our team. We're not going to be able to... Okay, all right, never mind. I may be interacting privately, just do a Facebook Live feed, and interact with folks that post comments. So stay tuned over at Ask Dr. Brown, because I've only been able to get to a few calls here. But if Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture, is being exalted, people are coming under the authority of the Word of God, they're turning from sin to holiness, and they're getting a burden for lost and dying world, the Holy Spirit is behind that. 866-34-TRUTH. Irving, Texas, George, you're on the line of fire.
All right, let me be quick. Brother, there's extremes on both sides. And sometimes the most intelligent people sometimes say the stupidest things. John MacArthur, I love the guy, but that was really a stupid thing that he said. I mean, had he never heard of James Robinson? Has he never heard of Pat Robertson? Whenever there's a hurricane or any kind of disaster, Operation Rescue is one of the first...
Operation Blessing, yeah.
Yeah, Operation Blessing, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, they do tremendous work. Brother, I also want to say, I know I gotta go be fast. I really appreciate you because you are like balanced. You're like in between both extremes, and I love your humility, your heart, and your genuineness to try to teach the Word of God. You know, with the Holy Spirit. I really thank God for you, brother.
Hey, thanks, man. And listen. I appreciate Pastor MacArthur. It was a ridiculous, ill-advised statement he made, and I hope he repents of it, because one day he's going to meet some of the finest people he's ever met in the kingdom of God forever, and he's going to be amazed to see what he said about them versus reality. Do I have time for another call? Matt in Bloomington, Indiana, if we can go quick, you're on the line of fire.
Hey, I just got a question about, like, what are some of the main verses that cessationists would use? To justify that there was the cessation of gifts?
Well, really, it's not. There's no scripture in the Bible that teaches it. There's nothing that says it explicitly. They'll sometimes point to 1 Corinthians 13, when the perfect is come, then you won't need tongues, you won't need prophecy, and they claim the perfect is the completion of the canon of scripture, which is untenable and impossible for many, many other reasons. You know, they'll point to miracles confirming Jesus and the signs, wonders, and miracles to confirm who he was. And now that that's confirmed, that, you know, those aren't needed. But to be candid, I had a really good debate with Dr. Sam Waldron, an educated professor. And when I asked him, do you have any verse explicitly that states your position, he had to say no. It was basically logical. deduction. But hey, let's do it. Let's do the debate. Come on, cessationist scholars, professors, pastors. My door's open. Let's do it.